Please take your copies of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. We've been looking at this chapter a couple of times, and I want us to take another look this morning. We're going to read again through the entire chapter. You remember that this is a picture of the worship that is taking place in heaven. And I think it would be helpful if we all, as I read the words, try and get that picture clearly before our minds. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Now, as we've been considering this chapter, we've been asking the question, what are they doing in heaven? What's important to the people who are in heaven? And we see in this chapter three things that the people in heaven are focusing on. First of all, we've considered they focus upon the sacrifice of Christ. And there in this glorious picture of heaven, before the throne of God, is a lamb looking like it's been slain. So you see this picture of a beautiful little lamb, probably with its throat slit and blood all over its wool. And this is the visible manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ and the reminder of the great death that he accomplished on Calvary. Heaven is focused on that. The inhabitants who are there around the throne of God love to look at the Lord Jesus and think about this great sacrifice that he accomplished. But then we also noticed that heaven is focused on the triumph of Christ, the exaltation of our Lord Jesus. He is the one in heaven when nobody else is worthy, who is able to come forward and take the scroll out of the hand of God and break its seals and begin to unroll it, because he has been given sovereignty as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take the eternal plan of God and enact it, put it into action for the rest of this world's history. And so, this one, the Lamb, who is slain, who you might think, well, what power does a lamb have? What right does a lamb have to exercise such authority? Because of his sacrifice and all he has accomplished, he is worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one who's come from the root of David. He's the King worthy to take heaven's throne and exercise sovereignty throughout human history. But as these things are recognized, the sacrifice of Christ, the exaltation of Christ, there is an immediate response of all of the inhabitants of heaven to worship the Lamb. And that's the third focus that we find in this chapter, that heaven is giving attention to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their praise is expressed in this new song of verses 9 and 10. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Now, we can ask the question of this worship that is being given to the Lamb. Why is it called a new song? Why is a new song filling up the courts of heaven with these words? Well, in the Bible, the worship of God's people that is expressed in singing is often a response to merciful acts of redemption. In other words, God has done something noteworthy to save his people, and so his people respond to that with new songs of worship to God. We could think of the Exodus from Egypt, as God came down and rescued his people out of slavery, gave them Moses to be a leader, brought them out of that terrible land of slavery. Great, powerful judgments that God brought on the enemies of his people. And then he brings them through the Red Sea, and they're on their way to the promised land. And in Exodus 15, we have the new song of Moses as the people gather to worship the God who has just rescued them out of bondage in Egypt. Or we might think of a later time in Israel's history, when David, as king of Israel, leading God's people, is successful in bringing the Ark of Day of God to Jerusalem, and God's people worship with David's psalm of praise. It's the recognition that God has worked mightily on behalf of his people. So often in Scripture, when you see these mighty works of God redeeming his people, it calls forth the praises of his people. And so here in heaven, there's the celebration of a new work of mercy. God has given his Son. He's died upon the cross. And by that death and the shedding of his blood, the Lord Jesus has purchased for God people from all over the world who are going to be gathered in throughout the rest of world history. And as the inhabitants of heaven, as that dawns on their mind, the Lamb is there before them. He's taking the scroll. He's working out God's plan for history. What's the response? They fall on their faces in worship. They begin to sing this new song of praise to God. And as we consider this scene in heaven, this response to God's work of redemption, we see the worship proceeding in ever-widening circles. It begins, first of all, right around the throne of God, with these four living creatures, these angelic beings, and then the 24 elders who we believe represent Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. These leaders of God's people, as they recognize what God has done, they fall on their faces in worship. And then it goes beyond them to the angels. And John tells us here that the angels are there in heaven with God's people in incredible numbers. And these words that are used to describe them basically tell us they are beyond counting. They also join in this song of redemption. Though they have not experienced it themselves, surely, as those who have watched the drama of human history in God's created world, they would understand something of the gravity of man's rebellion against God and the severity of God's justice against sinners. And then to witness God taking his Son and sending him into the world, the one who would be sacrificed in order to rescue many of these very rebels. As the angels stand and watch this, it becomes to them a great cause to urge them on in worship as they are spectators in this scheme of human redemption. And John tells us that they do so with a very loud voice. Even though they're not participants themselves, as they have seen what God has done in Christ, they join their voices with these others in heaven to very loudly sing the praises of the Lamb. And then along with them, this ever-widening circle, John speaks of every creature in all creation. Now it's difficult for us to comprehend that. Is the vision that John is speaking of here, does it concern the end of time when the entire universe, saved and unsaved, will recognize something of the immensity of the work of Christ and they'll fall down before the Lord Jesus and confess him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? At least this much is clear. These crescendos of worship swell to include everything that God has made. Surely it's an indicator of future blessedness. Now, we're not there yet. We're not yet standing in this theme as we hope one day by the gospel to be there. But there ought to be certain similarities between what is happening in heaven that we see here described in the scriptures and our own experience as we gather each Lord's Day. Just like the people in heaven, we ought to be very proud of the work of Christ. If there's anything that we're going to boast about in this world and be very proud about and be eager to tell all kinds of people about, it's what's represented right here on this table. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. Let us determine that we are not going to be swayed by the perspective of the people in this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the very Son of God who died to accomplish God's plan and has won a great number of people for himself who will be revealed in the last day. May our praise reflect our confidence. May our praying for the work of the gospel reflect that confidence. May our witness in the world reflect that confidence in Christ's finished work. We have nothing to be ashamed of as God's people except our own sin. We have everything to boast about when it comes to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the worship of God's people in heaven, It ought to be a reminder to us. Here's a source of great joy for our worship. We ought to bless God that again and again we are brought back to this table to view the Lord Jesus Christ and be reminded of our attachment by grace to the Savior. We ought to bless God for it. We may not yet be gathered around the throne, but in a sense, we're looking on the very same thing that stirs up the worship of heaven. Through these symbols here, we are gazing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the bread, being reminded that our Savior had a real body. He was a true man, and he went to that cross to suffer and die. Taking the cup of juice and remembering that our Savior shed his blood so that we might be forgiven and washed clean of all of our sins. We are simply and clearly reminded of the one who has redeemed us from sin and hell and is getting us ready for heaven so that we too can join with this throng around the throne of God and praise the Lamb that was slain. May that fire our worship today. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, we bless you today for sending your Son into the world. We confess we don't understand why you would give him up to such suffering and death to win us. But we bless you for it. We acknowledge your great and mighty grace that has taken the sacrifice of Christ and applied it to our lives and redeemed us. And so, our God, as we have another opportunity by these symbols to gaze upon our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice, may we, with all of our hearts, desire to praise our Savior and be one day with this great throng in heaven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.